welcome everybody to the very first edition of Rock the Culture. I'm your host, Antoine Phillips. You can find me on Twitter at _AntoinePhillips. And I got my main guest with me. I'll allow you to introduce yourself to the folks.
Well, I'm co-hosting today. This is Representative Charles Blake, always repping. And you can find me on Twitter at Charles J. Blake.
So what we have here, Rock the Culture, is to fill a void in our society as it relates to perspective and conversations about the culture in Little Rock, you know, somewhat Central Arkansas, but particularly Little Rock. So that's why it's called Rock the Culture. We're here to shape things, to be unfiltered, to be unbiased, and just give you the truth on how we see what's going on in the world that we live in today. So we started this pod.
To be as honest as possible, as Antoine just said, you know, filling a void, man. We have to be able to get our message out there. We have to make sure that our people know that everything is politics, and what affects us on the streets affects us in the state capitol, affects us in City Hall. So we're here just to be your source.
And absolutely right. So how this got started? As Blake mentioned, is that we decided that it wasn't a need. I mean, there wasn't any room for us. So if something doesn't exist, create it. So that's what we did. We created this for you, for our community to share what's happening in the news and how people are impacting our culture on a day-to-day basis. So I'll give y'all a layout of the show format. Our co-host, primarily Charles Blake, and I will discuss the week's news. And then we'll have a special guest who come on each episode to share how they're impacting our community, whether it's entertainment, political, philanthropy, activism, you name it. We'll have people who are impacting our lives every day here in Little Rock. And before we get started into this week's news story, we got to give some shout-outs. First, shout-out to Arkansas Times for agreeing to give us this platform to share our perspective and our conversation about issues that are affecting us. And I also want to give a shout out to my guy Q-Note and Keys to the City TV, who's going to make sure that we look and sound great and and that you can appreciate.
He's going to have to do a lot of work on you, Twan.
Well, look, see. So we're getting started already.
Now we got those out the way. We can get real.
Actually, you know, when people work with me, you know, it's like what the dude said, how Jay Holiday got his name. Says working with me is like a day off, bro. It's a holiday. Okay. You know, it's easy work. One take Twan. It's what they call me. You
Ooh,
never heard that?
Take Twan.
One
I like
take
it.
Twan.
I like it.
Anyway, let's get into the news this week, Blake. First thing that came out, we're talking about Little Rock news. Obviously, it's a big political year. Recently, Irma Hendricks, who's the Ward 1 representative of the city of Little Rock, and to kind of describe that area for us, Blake.
So city Ward 1 is actually the ward that I live in. It crosses over with my legislative district, so that's downtown Little Rock, Quapaw Corridor, East End, South End, College Station, you know, going out to the southeast part of the great city.
So Irma Hendricks is the elected official for that district on our city board. As many of you know, our board has 10 board members at this point. There are seven at-large members. I mean, three at-large members, seven ward members. And Irma Hendricks has proposed an ordinance to completely reshape the way our board is structured. And the way it will work logistically, she has to get approval from the other board members to go to an all-ward representation and get rid of the at-large seats.
So that would be seven board members as it stands now. Now, they may expand it later on, but that's seven board members taking those three at-large. And the reason why it's confusing to a lot of people because as I'm going out canvassing now, you know, I'm talking to people, and they're saying, yeah, my ward, I've been in Southwest the last couple days, and they're saying, you know, my city director is Joan Adcock. And I'm saying, yeah, she's one of your city directors. She's supposed to represent all of the city along with Gene Fortson and Dean Compeers, but your city director is Ken Richardson. And that's it's really confusing because what happens is you don't know who to call. You don't know who to hold accountable if you need, you know, your trash picked up. If you need new sidewalks, need a new curb. So what Director Hendrix is trying to do is say, let's go to direct representation, one person, one ward, so you know who you need to call if something's done.
And from a, you know, cultural and a racial standpoint, the way the board is currently made up, we have three black board members, Irma Hendrix, Ken Richardson, Doris Wright.
Mm-hmm.
And the three at-large members are white. And a lot of people, according to one of your colleagues in the state legislative, Representative John Walker, mm-hmm. are of the mindset that if we went back to ward representation, that would allow more diversity on the board. And obviously more diversity in representation would have people concerned and taking your own interests at heart, yeah. theoretically, as they're sitting in those seats that we elected them to serve in.
And that's important. That's important to us. That's important to our city, to our culture, because we need voices at the city board. We need representation of people who are have similar experiences, who knows the plight of south of 630. I hate saying it, but I mean, if we're going to be honest, we're going to be honest. South of 630 is where the black people live in the city. So if we only got, you know, three people on the board out of 10, that's 30%. I mean, we make up almost 48% of the city.
Right.
So we're not being represented, and it is black and white, but it's also, like I said, similar experiences, going through similar plights, you know, knowing what it is to be black in Little Rock.
Right. And then, you know, I'm gonna hit y'all probably every week with a Jay-Z quote, and Jay-Z always, one of my favorite Jay-Z quotes is, there's a lot of issues in the world I know, but first I got to take care of the world I know. I'm from the bottom, so I still feel them at the bottom. So if you can feel somebody where they are, if yeah. you understand where they're from, if you understand that world, then ideally that should translate into representation. Before we move on from this topic, Blake, where do you see this going? Not is it good or bad, but is this ordinance going to be successful? And if it is at the city board level, then us as the citizens of Little Rock, then we have to vote on it mm-hmm. to approve it, to make it happen.
You know, Representative Walker's bill didn't actually, it was some opposition to the bill. I think it ran in 2015. But that was because a lot of people thought it should be taken care of at a city level. And if it does, it's gone past if we get there in at the city hall and say, we need this. We have to have this. And once we have to have this, we'll get it on the ballot in November, and it'll be one of those things that we have to get out and vote for. Since we're talking about voting, I know we're going to move on. Got to get out and vote. You got primaries May 22nd. You got general elections November the 8th. You know, this is the time of the year, every year, not just every 4 years, but every other year, this is the time where your voice really matters.
And on that note, just drop a nugget. Facebook has selected Little Rock to be one of those cities, like in the news. And I saw it on Facebook today. A week from today is the deadline to register to vote. So if you're not registered to vote, you got 7 days from when you hear this podcast to register to vote, to be eligible to vote in that May 22nd primary.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to the next story that we want to talk about. Again, Little Rock Central. This is Little Rock culture, so we focus on Little Rock. The next thing I saw in the news last week, Blake, was Little Rock falls on the livability rankings, and Northwest Arkansas ranks high. And I'll read a little quote from the Arkansas Dem Gazette article from April 10th. Northwest Arkansas, which, I mean, you're kind of cheating a little bit because now you got a region comparing it to a city, but that's kind of semantics, but I do want to point that out. But Northwest Arkansas ranks 5 in the livability rankings in the top 125 metros, and Little Rock is 65th. Last year, we were 38. So Little Rock has fallen down the list of places where people desire to live.
What's those metrics, Antoine?
That's a good question. So they talk about a lot of different things. They talk about desirability to live in a place, the job market index, which assesses unemployment, quality of life. So this is kind of a survey that they're giving to folks in and outside of the metro areas about how they feel about their city. And as it relates to Little Rock, I want to talk about, you know, why are people saying this is a less desirable place to live? You and I have been here our whole life. We know people who came and went. You know, one of your best friends left Little Rock to go get a different opportunity down in Texas. I got family and friends who done the same thing.
Yep.
So I kind of want to talk about, as it relates to the culture, why are people leaving Little Rock? Like,
you know, I serve on a, you know, full disclosure, I serve on the board of the chamber. So we have a lot of discussions about this. And what I hear from the other side of 630 or west of 630 is that it's crime. It's that we're too hard on our own city. And I think that's a cop out. I think one of the reason, and if you're not aware, that people are leaving this city is because of opportunity. Because we haven't focused in, we haven't been laser focused on making sure everybody across our city has the opportunity to be successful. You know, you and I have taken advantage of some of those, and some that we're going to talk about later in this podcast.
Absolutely.
But we have to be strategic, and we have to be very intent on saying, if it's summer jobs for kids, then we're going to do whatever we have to do. If we can invest in a tech park, we can invest in summer jobs for children, for a lot of children across this city. So it's opportunity, man. I promise you, that's the number one reason why I ask my friends who are in Texas, I ask my friends who are in California, in Charlotte, in Atlanta, why you not coming back? Man, ain't nothing there for me.
Ain't nothing there for me. I can go do it somewhere else, make a, you know, do a similar job, make a little bit more money with more, not only like, you know, professional opportunities, but recreational opportunities as well. According to this article, it says that Little Rock's ranking dipped this year because the city saw a decrease in the amount of people moving to the area, growing by less than 1% due to net migration between 2012 and 2016. So not only do we have people leaving, but we're not even attracting new people into the city. And I think part of that, like you said, is definitely opportunities. But I get people who come and say, man, I'm going to be in Little Rock this weekend. What are we going to do?
Entertainment. If it's nothing for us to do, then we're not going to be here. Plain and simple. I'm not talking about for people to do. If it's nothing for black people to do in Little Rock after hours, on weekends, right after, we got jobs too. Right after work doing happy hours.
We got jobs too.
We do.
That may be the title of the episode. We got jobs.
We got jobs too. You know, if it ain't nothing for us to do, man, what are we gonna be doing? We're gonna be leaving. And another bad thing about that is leaving here and spending your money somewhere else. I mean, leaving here, not going to shop at K Hall. Leaving here and not going to eat at Sims, you know, going out to Conway, going to Bryant, going to West Little Rock to eat. Right. And now I'm talking about subs.
Full disclosure, I live in West Little Rock, so we can't hate on West Little Rock too much.
Well, we're going to hate a little bit. I'm South End boy born and raised. I got to hate a little bit, man.
But you're speaking of culture opportunity, that's a great segue to our next topic, which is Riverfest. You talk about recreation opportunities, things that we can do, events in the city. Riverfest was a long-time music event for the Central Arkansas, all of Arkansas, really. Shut down shop last year.
Yeah.
A new entity came and bought it, so they're back. They're trying to revive it. And now we got the new list of guests, and I want to talk about it from the culture perspective.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the list, the only name I recognize is Young Thug.
Thugger, huh? Thugger's coming to Little Rock.
So we got Young Thug coming. Is that enough? I mean, you just said our city, we got 48% black folks. We got an event that's for the entire city, 3-day event, and I get Young Thug. Not that he's not. I mean, Young Thug.
I mean, that's another conversation to have. Is that competent? Is that efficient? Not only is it enough, but is that going is Young Thug all, not only being all, but is that enough? Like you said, is that enough? And is it okay? You know, I'm not saying I don't like Young Thug, but I mean, what's the demographic of people who listen to Young Thug?
That's a good question. I can't profess to be a Young Thug connoisseur.
Yeah, you up here.
What's your best?
You up here quoting Jay-Z. I mean, you up here quoting Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, best musician hand down ever, in my opinion. Any genre, best musician, most influential on the culture, on music. Jay-Z. What's your favorite Young Thug song, Blake?
Oh, you hit me with one there, man. I have to think about it.
See, now people ain't gonna think you cool.
No, it ain't cool. I mean, do you know the names of his songs?
No, I don't know what he's saying in his song. I'm gonna know the name.
I mean, I'm not hating on mumble rappers at all. I want y'all to know that. I like Migos. I like Culture One and Culture Two.
Yeah.
But I can't think. Q, give me a Young Thug song. Exactly.
That, so if that's the case, then and we call ourselves tuned in, and you know, only person on that list is Young Thug. I mean, what does that say about how, you know, the opportunity, again, recreational opportunity for people who look like us in the city, where I'm going to go spend $40, $50, $60, but I only got one show that I really care about. I don't know Kip Moore. I don't know anybody else on that list.
Yeah.
I'm not into that genre, but I live here just like everybody else, and I think that representation matters in every walk of life, whether it's in the boardroom, courtroom, or at the Riverfest Amphitheater, that we need to have representation.
You're absolutely right.
Obviously, I know we ain't going to get Jay-Z because he costs too much.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not hating on just Young Thug, but I want to see more than Young Thug. I want to see more than one act that's geared to people who look and feel.
A spectrum right. of artists, not just Young Thug. You
right.
know? I want to see some local, I want to see trap jazz on the, you know, Shots Out Again. That's what I'm talking about. Right. Some local artists who are able to push the music. We got an excellent music scene here in Little Rock. You know, it's beyond Rodney Block, and it's beyond 607 and Epiphany.
Right.
You know, we have people that we should be pubbing just, you know, to go along with Young Thug.
Right, right. So we're going to leave it there on the news. Like I said, we're going to give you 15 minutes of some of the hot topics in the news. And right now we're going to transition to our interview with our first guest, very special guest to Rock the Culture Pod. As our friend, I'm going to allow him to completely introduce himself, Darren Morgan, and what he does in the community and how he's impactful. I will say, I'll let everyone know, full disclosure, that Blake and I are alumni of the program that this man now runs, and I don't think Blake and I are in a position to share our thoughts and, you know, be doing the work that we're doing currently without that program. So for that, I'll allow you to introduce yourself, Mr. Darren Morgan.
Hey, how's everybody doing today? So my name is Darren Morgan. I am the executive director of Arkansas Commitment. A little bit about me and my background. I am originally from College Park, Georgia.
College Park, right?
Yes, sir.
So what,
yes,
Yin Yang Twins?
Ludacris.
I know all of them.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about Young Thug either. I know my age range of rappers. I was from College Park, Georgia. My mom is a retired teacher. My dad's a retired software engineer. So education was always a staple in my household. So growing up, education was key. I actually went away to college at a small liberal arts school in North Carolina called Davidson College. After I graduated, went into banking for a little bit. Hated it with a passion. Decided to go back and do admissions. So I was actually an assistant dean of admissions and financial aid for about 5 years. Before I came to Little Rock to run Arkansas Commitment.
Okay, so Arkansas Commitment, I know it. I can talk about it passionately. I know Blake can talk about it passionately as well. But for people who don't know, I mean, what's the elevator speech about what's the purpose of the program?
Yeah, so the purpose of Arkansas Commitment is really threefold. The first part of it is to identify talented African-American students in Little Rock. We want to make sure we have a great pool of high-achieving students, so when colleges come to town, they know they can go to us and we can put them in front of great students that will be admissible to their college. The second part to it is to prepare students for the admissions process. You know, a lot of students really just don't know what to do as far as college admissions go. A lot of times you look at the stats and you look at the number of students going to college and which colleges they're going to. They're doing what we call undermatching, where they're going to schools that's not quite at their caliber because they just don't know the opportunities out there for them.
Undermatching.
So
that's a great term that I didn't know. I've been undermatched before in my life on other areas.
I think we all have.
I think your wife may be undermatched.
So we perfectly matched, bro. So I was talking to somebody. Well, this is off topic. I was talking to somebody the other day. We was at dinner. So, man, I was on your Facebook page, man. Your wife is beautiful. I'm like, yeah, I appreciate that. They're like, nah, but really. And I was like, you said that like, you surprised.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, I wasn't supposed to be where I'm at in life. You
they
know what I'm saying?
You. They doubted you.
They doubted me. They think I'm undermatched. Keep going, brother. I'm sorry. I have to just throw that out there.
So, you know, a lot of students, especially in Central Arkansas, they undermatch. You know, when I was a recruiter at Davidson, I would come to Little Rock, and I would come out here only for 2 days because we don't see a sizable pool of students looking to go out of state. And what we do see is a large amount of students that will undermatch and not look at the Vanderbilts and the Bowdoins and all those great schools out there.
Maybe Grinnell.
I was about to throw it in there. I can see the look in
Grinnell,
his eyes.
Baby.
My bad, Grinnell. So, he
had to go way down the list to get to Grinnell. That's why I took him a long time.
I was going to say a couple more, but I got you. But, so we do, in order to help these kids out, we do one-on-one college counseling. So, if a student in the area in my program needs help outside of traditional business hours, they can meet with me from 5 to 8 to talk about the college process. We do free ACC test prep for a full semester. We do out-of-state college visits. Last year, we went to Atlanta. This year, we went to Tennessee, just so they can see and be exposed to colleges all across the spectrum.
You can't be what you don't see.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exposure. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that I've always loved about the program, man. It's not only getting us on college campuses, but you're in high school campuses now.
Right.
Getting those opportunities to kids who've never seen or heard of them before. And their parents. You know, right. You got to have the parents, too.
Exactly. You know, and that's the third piece of it, too. You know, because it's one thing. So in the program, we work with about 120 kids, right? Like when you guys were in it, it was a small pool of kids, right? But that's a drop in a bucket compared to what's in the city. So I actually go into the high schools now. We got high school partnerships with North Little Rock High School, Central Hall, and East End, where I actually do a 5-part admissions workshop, and I work with about a good 650 kids there. So outside that 120, I'm trying to really reach the masses and expose them to all the opportunities out there.
So that's kind of like an ancillary program. So that's not mm-hmm. the Arkansas commitment, but that's just you and your experience and your knowledge sharing with other people who may not be in the program per se.
No, that's the new wing of Arkansas.
Oh, it's a new wing. Yeah, look at me learning something. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I started this when I took over about a year ago. I felt like, you know, with our program, with the students in our program, we meet with them on Saturdays and we meet with them in the evenings. But during the day, there is so much opportunity out there where I could go into the schools. And for, you know, the kids in the program, they're already bright. I mean, look at y'all. Yeah. You know, they're already high achieving students.
Well, I was bright. We took a lot of work with Blake. But I get what you're saying.
But, you know, they're already brilliant. But what about those kids that need an extra push, right? They need somebody to actually go in and teach them this is what we're looking for. To really just expose them to college and to what college is looking for and take it from there. So we go into the schools now about once or twice a week and work with, like I said, about 650 kids that way.
Wow, I'm an alumni of the program, and that's awesome for me to hear. So when families are hearing about this, I mean, one thing that's always exciting at events, and when I talk about my experience with Arkansas Commitment, they say they want to know the numbers, man. People love hearing numbers about the opportunity that these kids are getting to go to these places where, I guess, what's the opposite of overmatch? Properly matched.
I guess.
Properly matched.
Got the right fit.
Find the right fit for them. So kind of throw out some of the numbers. I don't know if you kind of calculated what the class of 2018 has already come up with, but the amount of scholarship dollars that people are receiving through this program.
Yeah, so we've been tracking it since 2010, and since then they've gotten about $26 million in scholarships.
$26 million.
Now, for this year's class, this is probably, they make me look good. I love this class. So we have about 18 students reporting right now, and they've already received about $1.4 million in first year scholarships. Multiply that times 4, that's almost $6 million in scholarships and grants. So not loans. So these are going to be kids that's going to be able to graduate debt-free, come back to Little Rock, become leaders, become homeowners because they don't have that debt, and then be fully vested in the community.
And that's a great point to bring it back. We were talking about earlier about people leaving the city and leaving because of opportunities. Right. But part of the Arkansas Commitment Program is for you to go and be perfectly matched, find that right fit, but to come back to Arkansas. So kind of talk about how that's instituted into the model that Arkansas Commitment has.
Yeah, so what we try to do is get them invested in the community through service. So they participate in different service events through the community. They have service hours that they have to perform. But we also try to pair them with different academic and extracurricular activities in the area, too. So I have a couple of students that's going to participate in UAMS's Summer Research Initiative. I have a few students that's doing Governor School and Girls State. Mm-hmm. So they know, they're going to be able to know, really on a civic engagement level, what's out here in Little Rock. How to get involved, how to participate, how to take that knowledge when they get a little bit older and get into their careers. How can they be a positive impact on the neighborhood?
So it's a great program. I learned from it. I benefited from it. The relationships that I got from Arkansas Commitment helped me along every day in what I do. It helped me transition into the corporate world. I grew up in Southwest, went to McClellan, was as McClellan as you can be McClellan.
Right.
when I went to my first job, and then to know that there's people who care and see the potential in you at that age really was impactful for me and made me want to come back. So
yeah, the ability that the program has to shape and mold young minds, man, that's the exciting thing. With the exposure and with the experience that you're gaining, trying to be that talented 10%, you know,
right.
Being those kids who are bringing that knowledge back, who are bringing that experience back, who are also going out and saying, I'm no different from any student from the South End of Central or from any student from Southwest at McClellan. I've had these opportunities that we've been able to take advantage of. Now it's time for me to start giving back to my city, start building generational wealth, start figuring out how I could positively affect Little Rock.
Right.
You know, and then you talk about generational wealth. You know Jay-Z got quotes. Man, Jay-Z got quotes for everything. He said, What'd he say?
What'd he say?
He said,
which album are you coming from?
Which album? Rich, let's get wealthy. Who else gonna feed we? And then he also says that, and on 444,
says, song about it, right?
Man, what'd he say? Generational, my moms and pops didn't have it. I'm going to figure it out, y'all. I'm going to get back to y'all because I ain't even Googling right now. This is straight off the dome. So if I Googled, I could do it, but I ain't Googling. I'm just trying to get y'all unfiltered Jay-Z lyrics, but I'll get y'all next week, though, with that with some more Jay-Z. Anyway, man, so it's a great program. So tell me, I mean, that's all sound great. I mean, what kind of, is there any challenges? What's the obstacle for Arkansas Commitment as you see it now and reaching more kids?
Yeah, so one is just time, to be honest with you. I would love opportunity to get into more schools, to partner with more organizations, collaborate with other programs like the AKA's, the SEND program, and things like that. So time is one of the biggest obstacles. Two, we need, our students have a really difficult time seeing, I guess, the paths to their dreams. If they don't know any lawyers, they don't know any bankers, mm-hmm. don't know any politicians, they feel like it's a little bit out of their reach. So
it's not tangible.
It's not a tangible dream for them. It's what they feel. So, you know, at this point, yeah, they're working hard. They're in school. They're studying. But it's all theory because they don't see how the proper steps to take to get
right,
there.
Right. Yeah.
So we need mentors. We need internships so they can pick up those intangible skills, like those interview skills, like the resume writing, like the, everything you need to be successful in the corporate
world. Right, and just comfortability, too. Like, and that's what I was mentioning. So I started my internship with Metropolitan Bank back in the day. And just being there and getting comfortable in that environment that's completely foreign to you translates down the line forever. Now, right. I feel okay when I'm there now because I've been there.
Right.
And that works both ways. Cause not only you getting comfortable with the environment, but them getting comfortable with someone who looks like you.
Exactly.
You know, that's one. Cause I started my internship with Regions Bank. You know, and I was one of two black people that was above the first floor. And the first floor is where the tellers are.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about commercial lending, trust, private banking. You know, and that's coming in. And this guy, I can credit him being your honest self. You know,
mm-hmm.
not caring about, you know, if you walk in, you got dreads.
Mm-hmm.
Having them being comfortable with who we are, you know, that
exactly.
It works both ways.
It does. You know, my first internship was with Turner Broadcasting. It was the exact same thing. It wasn't that many blacks on the floor. I was a junior in high school, so I was completely out of my element, really, you know. But being in that experience that young really prepares you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, you get used to it. You see how to navigate those different social circles and different corporate environments. You can take it from there and be comfortable with it.
And the last thing, well, two last things. Can mm-hmm. I do two last things? Penultimate, word of the day, penultimate thing. How do people find Arkansas Commitment? How do they get involved? How can they reach out to you?
Yeah, so they can go online to our website, www.arkansascommitment.org. There you have my email address, darren@arkansascommitment.org. Or you can give me a call, 501-508-5111. I'm very accessible. Just feel free to give me a call, reach out to me. We'd love to get you involved, love to volunteer. If you want to come speak to the kids or mentor, feel free.
And the last thing I saw you posted about Beyonce at Coachella. I mean, are you not a member of the Beehive? That's what
you're not about to get me kicked out of the Beehive, man. I plead the fifth on that one.
Man, we appreciate you. We appreciate you being the first guest of Rock the Culture. It was important for Blake and I to have you because I think where we are is because of that program. So you to come and be a part, we really appreciate it. For all our listeners, it's Rock the Culture. You can find us on wherever you get your podcast on your smartphone. Rock the Culture, R-O-C-K, the culture. Follow me, @_AntoinePhillips.
@CharlesJBlake.
And be sure to use the hashtag Rock the Culture. We'll see y'all next week.